Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. This is a weekly sports podcast. We like to call it the best couple of hours of your sports week. We want to thank you for tuning in. I am the host, 12 Kyle. Want to thank you all for tuning in. This is what we call the place where sports opinions collide. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, going to be NBA heavy. And we also have a guest. Before we bring our guest on, you know the usual suspects. First up, the bat, my man, BZ430. BZ, what up, though?
What up, though? What's up, Kyle? What's going on, Ken? And our special guest, I think this is the first time we had a young lady on the show.
Yeah, first time.
So first. This is great, man. This is like history in the making right here.
First time in 5 years. I don't know what took so long, but.
I don't know either.
Next up the bat is the guy who ran the show while I was out on vacation last week, my man Ken. Ken, what up, man?
Yeah, this is your captain speaking.
Hey, did you peep last week how Ken had the scene from
I did. Yeah. I was sitting on the beach in Hilton Head and I'm listening to the pod and it's like I got it in my headphones. So then like as you guys were talking about stuff on the podcast, I'm like, no, man, you gotta be crazy. And so my wife is looking at me like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, oh, I'm listening to the podcast. She was like,
yeah.
I was like, dead end. I was like, dad, just leave me alone. Leave me alone. So I listened to all of it, man. It was great. Great job. And Q, as always, does a great job filling in, man. So, yeah, Ken did his thing. And I think you guys did a good job of keeping Ken in check.
Relatively. I know. You kept hitting me up, too, like, man, keep Ken in check.
Yeah, you got to keep him in check, man, because he goes in these tirades and stuff, man, and he's just out of control, man. But what's going on, Ken?
Chilling, man. Head spinning with all of the news that's coming out today, man. I think the NBA is doing a great job of turning themselves into a sport that's like year round. And that's what we're like in the midst of seeing happen. They're trying to be like the NFL.
Oh, definitely. So. It's almost like it's a 24/7 news cycle. Also, as I mentioned at the top, joining us is for the first time our guest host. She is a friend of the show. And as B mentioned, the first young lady to join the Dead End Sports Podcast. She is an actress. And if I'm not mistaken, she's also here in ATL as well. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, Miss Starlet Hill. Starlet, how you doing?
I'm great. Happy to be here. I'm so excited to be going back and forth with you guys. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Definitely, yes. definitely. Well, as I mentioned before, it's the place where sports opinions collide. So don't hold back on your opinions.
I won't. Trust me, I won't.
All right, so let's get it started, man. Like I said, it's going to be NBA heavy. We were alerted, I think it was Sunday or Monday, that Paul George announced or let it be known to the Indiana Pacers that he was only going to play with the Pacers through this upcoming season and he would be leaving for the 2018 season. Now, he told the team that he intends to leave and become a free agent. And that he's not going to re-sign. He said he would prefer to play for the Lakers. B, I'll start right here with you. If you were the Pacers, where would you trade him to, and where do you think he's a good fit?
I mean, okay, so this is what I think. Okay, if he goes to the Pacers, it's definitely going to be for a long term because, like, if he goes to the Lakers, because he's pretty much in the same spot. If he go to the Lakers this offseason and they play with that lineup that they got with the addition of Lonzo Ball, you're pretty much in the same. You probably won't make the playoffs, even though he made the playoffs in the Eastern Conference with Indiana. But I think you got the same kind of level of talent over at Lakers. So, I mean, yeah, short term, it's not going to be good. Of course, they're going to make room. You know, for, I think they're gonna make room for Boogie Cousins and Russell Westbrook. I think Lakers are going for that big three in the next 2 or 3 years. So the Paul George is just the first step for Magic, and then I think the year after that, that's when Boogie Cousins become a free agent. They're gonna try to get him and Russell Westbrook and two LA dudes that's gonna be playing for their home city, mm-hmm. And Boogie Cousins is going to be the icing on the top, man. That's what I think is going to happen. That's where I see the Lakers going. So, yeah, I think it will be long-term is a good fit for him. Short-term, I'm like, well, dude, you're not going to compete if you go to the Lakers.
Right.
Or if you get traded before the trade deadline, because now that he mentioned this, to the, you know, now he publicly said this, at this point, if you the Pacers, I'm like, well, let me try to trade and get something for you then, because I don't want you to just walk after the season, walk away, and we don't get nothing for you. You right. know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, and then of course we was talking. I think we talked about this last week. Him playing for the Cavaliers. I think it's an okay move. Just the fact that him, LeBron, and Kyrie Irving are all ISO type players. So it's like we're like Ken even said this. Lou needs to implement a system. So especially if you got three guys as ISO ball, you gotta implement some type of system offensively. And Lou hasn't got that yet. But other than that, Cavs and Lakers are the only spots I can possibly see him going to that makes sense. Maybe Boston, because I think Boston was trying to make a splash for him too. Him and Jimmy Butler. But yeah, it's just like Lakers is just good for short term. But that's what I think was going to happen with the Lakers, man. They're going for that big three.
So do you see a situation where they would trade him prior to the draft or prior to the season? Or do you think they, meaning Indiana, let him, you know, open up the season and then they try to see what happens during the season?
Yeah, I think if I'm Indiana, I would do that. I would wait till when the season starts. And of course, before the February trade deadline, and I try to work up something. I try to talk with GMs and owners then and see what I can muster up, man, that can put me in a position to where I won't be looking stupid like the Brooklyn Nets. You know, that stupid trade they just made. Right. So yeah, I would, if I was Indiana, I would do that. I would prepare myself to get ready to trade Paul George off, because I'm just not going to let him walk after the season for nothing.
Okay. Starlet, what about you? Like I said, Paul George, he's basically told him, look, I don't care what y'all do. I'm out of here for 2018. Do you think that they're going to trade him? And if they trade him, where do you think he would go?
I really think I do think they're going to trade him. I do think it would be the smart move. I kind of see him pushing towards the Lakers just to sort of start fresh right now, since Kobe's gone. They have a whole new lineup where they can really work to like build up a team, especially if Lonzo's coming in. I think that would be the smarter move opposed to the Cavs. I just do not want to see him go through the Cavs, especially with not knowing what's going to even happen with them. But that's a whole nother conversation. Mm-hmm. But I do see the trade happening. I do think they'll wait later on, though, and sort of see how the season plays out and hit it before February. But he's definitely getting traded somewhere, especially since he already made the announcement. Like, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that's going to be prior to the season or prior to the draft? Or do you think they'll, you know, try to...
You mean, do you think they're going to do it before Thursday? Mm-hmm. Nah, I think they'll wait. Okay. I think they'll hold off to see what the lineup comes to.
Okay. And then
do it.
I think I'm a little surprised that Paul George came out and said this, because normally you don't see teams or players kind of make this type of stance, especially prior to the season or prior to the draft happening. It's usually something in season. But here's the thing. I think Paul George making it known that L.A. is where he wants to be. He's from L.A. We mentioned that. Once you have your heart, particularly a player who has some cachet or has some, you know, some pull, a guy like Paul George, once he makes up his mind that that's where he wants to go, and, you know, we heard the rumors of him possibly being traded this past season right before the All-Star break, and, you know, the Pacers didn't do anything. Now, the Pacers, they're caught between a rock and a hard place, because now you know you're not going to get full value for him. But at the same mm-hmm. time, you have to do something. I would not be surprised to see something happen prior to the draft. I think it's going to be L.A. The Cleveland thing sounds good, but there's a couple of things that I think where we would run into issues with Cleveland. And I think because, first of all, Paul George and LeBron play the same position. So.
Right.
You would have to move, and we're assuming that Kevin Love would be the odd man out. So you would have to – one of the two of them would have to play, you know, quite a bit at power forward, and both have been reluctant to play the power forward position, you know, particularly these last few years, and they've been open in talking about it. And secondly, and I haven't really heard a lot of people talk about it, but I think – you know, Paul George, and we heard his comments after the, you know, during the playoffs this past playoff season, where he talked about, hey, you know, I got to get the last shot. I want the last shot. He wants to be the man. And he's been the man on some pretty good teams, but he's been the man. I don't know if he necessarily wants to come to Cleveland and play third fiddle, because he's not necessarily playing second fiddle to LeBron, because second fiddle is Kyrie, you know. So
right.
I don't know if it's a great fit. And I think he sees a team like LA who has some assets, they got some cap space. You know, he can go to LA and be the man, get paid, and then, you know, like B mentioned, subsequently they can make a push for a Boogie Cousins or Russell Westbrook or maybe even a LeBron, you know, in a year or so. So I see him going to LA just because that's where he said he wants to go. I kind of feel bad for the Pacers because, you know, they're left holding the bag. They have to do something at this point.
I feel like the Pacers are going to – they're pissed. I would be pissed. Like, they have to be. Like, right before the draft, everything's getting figured out. Now they have to run around, figure out what they're going to do last minute. If they do it before the draft, that kind of switches up everyone they wanted to bring into the draft. So, I mean, he's definitely put them between a rock and a hard place for sure. I definitely think he's going to go to the Lakers, though.
Yeah.
Like, I just – and then who else? There was another team that – the Hornets, I think it was, that was also interested in him, like, putting in a bid. And I was like, I don't foresee that happening. But who knows? Maybe him and Harden would go good together.
He's at a position where he's going to command certain things to happen. And, you know, it's a foregone conclusion because, again, he's from L.A. He's made it. He's let it be known that that's where he wants to go. You know, let's just say they could make the trade with Cleveland. You know, do you really want to? I mean, Kevin Love only has 2 more years left on his contract. You know, do you want to pair him with the Miles kid and kind of rebuild? Jeff Teague is going to be a free agent. Somebody's probably going to pay him a lot of money to get up. So they're really going into a rebuilding phase. As you all know, Larry Bird just stepped down as the GM. President. So, you know, it's a lot of holes to fill.
Man, and I completely forgot about that. I forgot about stepping down. Yeah. Man. Yeah, Indiana about to be, ooh, they stuck in a rock and playing a hard place.
Right.
Oh my God.
They're going to have to completely rebuild.
Yeah, they're going to have to, because I don't know. I forgot what Monty Ellis' contract is looking like. I think he might be up for a re-sign, I think, next season. So, yeah, man. Ooh, Indiana about to be jacked up. So yeah, you're right. You're right, Starter. I think Indiana pissed that he made that announcement.
Right. Especially just like coming out there and saying it. And where is the pace? Like, where is Indiana in the lineup for the draft, anyways? Like, what number pick do they have?
They're definitely going to be outside that 16 because, you know, they made the playoffs. Now, unless they got someone else's like trade, you know, from
big trades are being made as we speak. So who knows what they're doing? Like, if I was them, I would start trading up so that I could get a closer, like a higher draft pick.
Yeah, they better start with this. The perfect time to start willing to deal. Now that you know what your star superstar player is going to do,
right?
You better start willing and dealing at this point.
No doubt. Also joining us is the homie FIFO. What's up, man?
FIFO, what's up, man?
Yo, what's good?
FIFO, yeah. We're just getting started, man. We got Starlet on the line with us as well. And Ken mysteriously dropped off. I think he just texted and said his computer crashed, so he'll be back on in a second. But B and Starlet and I were just talking about, you know, this Paul George situation. So I'm going to throw it to you, man. Paul George basically told the Pacers, hey, I'm out of here in 2018. He said he would prefer to play with the Lakers. If you're the Pacers, where would you trade him, and where do you think he would fit?
Man, you know, obviously a player of that caliber could fit anywhere. Mm-hmm. He's definitely a superstar in this league. From the Pacers' perspective, if you're going to kind of blow it up a little bit, you got to get some talent in return. Before Larry Bird left, he said that the Pacers market is not a market that you can just completely blow up. They're too small of a market, so you definitely have to give some value in return. That best value is going to definitely be Cleveland with Kevin Love. There's not going to be another player that you're going to get in return. Other teams are definitely going to want to give you draft picks, but I don't think you can get better talent than Kevin Love. So to me, I think it works on both ends because Cleveland needs another perimeter defender if they think they're going to beat Golden State and possibly keep LeBron James in Cleveland. So I think it's a good move because you have a rental in Paul George. Mm-hmm. LeBron technically is a rental. And then you have a trading chip in Kyrie if you just don't win. and those two guys decide to leave.
Right.
So I think it's a win-win scenario for both teams. The only problem is that Indiana's also going to want picks.
Of course. And the Cavs don't have any picks to give.
And they don't have any picks until 2021. So they're going to have to get a third team involved to get Indiana the type of young assets that they're going to also need for this rebuild.
He's made it clear, man. He wants to go to L.A. If I'm Indiana, what do I do with him? Yeah, I mean, if he wants to go to L.A., I'm trying to move him to L.A. and get what I can in return for him. And that makes the most sense. Paul George is a unique talent in this league, and people forget how great he actually is. Like, he has KD-level talent, and he would be a great fit on Indiana because, on Cleveland because, number one, we know the offense won't just disappear when LeBron goes on the bench. And he's a far better, superior player than Kevin Love. He can get his own shot. He can score damn near on any defender out there. You literally, when he's on, can't stop him. We've seen this guy go absolute berserk against Miami and against a lot of elite teams. And he wants to be the man. And that's what you want. So if you're LA, that's the kind of guy you want coming to your organization. You want a guy with that Kobe mentality coming to your organization. And with Magic there to mentor him, it just makes sense. So if I'm the Pacers, I'm going to honor this man's request. And in return, I'm going to get draft picks back because I need to rebuild. And that just makes the most sense for me. Now, I would love to see him go to Cleveland.
Right.
But Ken, I don't.
Yeah.
But from the Lakers' perspective, are you really giving up the number two pick to get Paul George when you could just sign Paul George because you have the cap space?
No, I wouldn't do that.
So
but
if I'm Magic, I'm not giving up the number two pick. I have the leverage.
And I think that's what they've been reluctant upon.
Exactly. So I don't think that the Laker move is going to happen, at least not via trade.
You'll just trade him to Cleveland for Kevin Love, who may or may not want to be there?
Like Larry Bird said on his way out, Indiana's not a market that you can completely tank. You're going to need to get some value in return. Who else is going to be able to provide you better value, player for player, than Kevin Love? And he's going to be there 2 years minimum. And if he doesn't want to play, right, or he's not playing well, you can still flip Kevin Love for future assets to another team that may want his services. So to me, Kevin Love is the better play because you have him for a little bit longer.
But then if you're Cleveland, though, why would you make that move when LeBron could possibly leave next year? You still need a guy to build on. So not only will you lose Kevin Love.
Oh, I guess you must have not heard what I said. So
No, I came on late.
Okay, so it's a win-win for Cleveland because LeBron is technically a 1 year rental as well, right?
Right.
Him and Paul George. So if both of those guys move, you can also trade Kyrie, right, and get future assets in return and just blow it all the way up. Because Kyrie is extremely valuable. GMs have called about Kyrie. So you
know want to be there.
What was that?
No, he doesn't want to be there. He already said if LeBron leaves, he's out.
Exactly.
Can you blame him?
No. Not at all.
Right.
Exactly.
You know what, Ralph? I think thinking about this a little bit more, we've seen what Kyrie and Love looks like without LeBron on the court. So you kind of know you're not going to win games anyway. So maybe – but we've also have a history of Cleveland not being able to make great draft picks. They got one right. And LeBron was a no-brainer. They got Kyrie right. Everybody else, they messed up. So
they was right on Wiggins.
I don't know.
They were right on Wiggins.
They were. But that was easy, though.
Okay, so let me throw this scenario out to you guys, and I'll start first with Starlet. Let's just put Paul George – let's say they do an even swap and they get Paul George for Kevin Love. How much of the gap does that close between them and Golden State, even if it's only for just 1 year?
Oh.
Winning it all. Go ahead, say it.
Going to the – I don't know. Because Durant was on fire. this. I think it'll be a go to seven for sure. Mm-hmm. It won't be like this series at all. I think LeBron's pissed, and he's not going to lose to them again back to back. So I'm pretty sure they would win it all. And I mean, it'd be great if they had a series where they went one straight. I mean, I'm not a Cavs fan at all, but I think it would probably be the best move for the Cavaliers, especially with like LeBron possibly being on his way out to give that city one more big win before he does, because everyone's going to be pissed when that happens. So, yeah, I mean, if it's those two teams again, which it probably will be, fourth year in a row, God, give us something different. But if it is those two teams again, I think that would be the best move for them.
It really depends on what the other role player guys off the bench is going to do. Because, like, right. I think FIFO said it, you know, at least with LeBron on the bench, and now you have some type of offensive threat still, or, you know, some type of offense going on where you can trust someone getting buckets when LeBron is on the bench. Because we've seen this year, when LeBron is on the bench, they look lost. They look like they just don't know how to score a basket, unless Kyrie had his hot streak modes, you know, whatever. But with Paul George there, I can definitely see him stepping up to the plate and saying, you know, Brian, bet you rest for about eight to 10 minutes. I got you for these 8 to 10 minutes, and we're going to still be in this game, or we're going to get back in this game, because you know what Paul George is going to bring offensively and defensively. He's a good two-way player. People sleep on him on the defensive side, I think. But, Paul George get them a step closer, but I still don't think it would be enough. You know, Golden State now is they a year in now. They got more chemistry. But, right. Paul, like I said, Paul George would definitely give LeBron some rest this year, because there's no way LeBron at this point in his career should still be playing damn near 40-plus minutes. You know, it shouldn't – not at this point of his career.
I think it pretty much closes the gap, if you ask me. I think the only thing that I feel they will be missing would be a system, an offensive system. But you got a guy that you can give the ball to. You got a third guy you can give the ball to and say, go get me a bucket. You couldn't give the ball to Kevin Love and say, go get me a bucket. And you have a guy who was used to being the number one option on the team. He was the man in Indiana. So it's nothing for him to step into a situation here to come to Cleveland. And really, it would take so much off of LeBron offensively. LeBron can really be like a playmaker, because you got a guy that can close games for you. You got a guy that statistically hasn't hit a lot of big shots late to win games or tie them, but he's unafraid of the moment. But you have Kyrie Irving, so you don't necessarily need him to do that. But Kyrie Irving, you know, well, yeah, you have Kyrie Irving, so you don't necessarily need him to do that. He can play defense on Kevin Durant. You're not going to stop him, but you got size that can match up with him. You know, he's probably just as quick. So, and you got a guy that offensively can go back at Kevin Durant as well, and has and basically he's a flat out scorer, man. So I think it would give them another option to compete with them, and you have a third closer on the team that can go get it done. And under LeBron's mentorship, the way that he's been mentoring Kyrie, I think will help Paul George take his mental game to another level as well.
You think Paul George needs to be mentored by LeBron?
Yeah.
Come on, Ken.
Yeah.
I think you got to learn how to win, though, Ken.
Yes, absolutely.
Because think about it. How far has Paul George have gone? Like, he's gone to the Eastern Conference Finals.
He's got a commercial with him shooting a game-winning shot, and he's never made one, to my knowledge. Mm. Hey, but I mean, I get your point. You stupid.
I think it's closer, but I still don't think it's enough. Because Cleveland will have three guys that can pass, catch, and shoot. Golden State still has four of those guys, because Tristan is not that guy. Right. So I think it brings them closer, because, again, they needed another wing defender. I know that there are rumors of Jimmy Butler going to Cleveland, and he's already talked to LeBron and Kyrie about it. And I like him better as a fit for that team. But if we're talking about beating Golden State, they need Paul George, because they need another guy that they can throw at KD. And KD still going to score 30. It just is what it is. But right. We just need another guy that can take some of that pressure off of LeBron having to guard him at this stage in his career.
No No doubt. And it remains to be seen. And for those of you listening to this podcast, by the time that you hear this, who knows? He could have been. He might be traded.
Have been traded
right by the time this happens, because as we've seen over the last 24 hours, the NBA news has been fast and furious. Just before we came on to record this, Jimmy Butler informed the Cavs that he would not be interested in coming there. His intent is to stay with the Bulls and help them win the East. And he said he would not be. He would be reluctant to re-sign to stay there beyond a year. Christmas comes early. Atlanta Hawks traded Dwight Howard to the Hornets.
Wait, what?
Yes.
She's like, what?
It's like a lot of stuff going on.
It's crazy.
She said, wait, what?
I am so happy right now.
No!
Yes, Dwight Howard is not an Atlanta Hawk anymore. One season.
But that was like a 5-second. No way.
Trade him for fish heads and rice.
You tripping.
They did. They traded him for the 31st pick to the Hornets for Miles Plumlee, Marco Bellinelli, and the 41st pick, according to published reports.
Good move, Kyle.
I've defended Dwight Howard here and there, but this guy's a serious cancer. He is. I don't think he understands what he has become. Like, I think he still sees himself as that guy, and you're just a guy. He needs to understand that. You know, you're talking about working on a 3-point shot, this, that. Bro, you don't got post moves, right? And that's your position. So what are we talking about here? And you still want to be featured in the offense. Man, rim run, set picks, change shots because you ain't blocking them like you used to. Right. You know, he's just a cancer. And I think by getting rid of him, you know, and Kyle said he's not a Dwight Howard fan, so anything that we get back. But the Plumlees are good big men, right? We know that they're solid. And when you system like the Hawks, you don't need a dominant like big man. Obviously, you need a focal point of the offense, but Mason? I can't remember which Plumlee they got. I'm sorry. But, he's going to do exactly what Coach Bud needs him to do. And then they also got Marco Bellinelli. Like, he's a good shooter.
It was Miles Plumlee. Miles Plumlee.
Miles Plumlee. And, you know, now they got Marco Bellinelli. He's a good shooter. Not great. Used to be, you know, one of the top tier, but he's at least decent. He's serviceable. He's going to get you minutes. And then you still, you know, you drop 10 spots in the second round. So it is what it is. Like, it's cool. It's a good move. You got rid of a cancer. And whenever you look at trades and it looks kind of one-sided because Dwight Howard still is a big name, it's other reasons outside of basketball. So for them to get other things back for that, hey, it's the cost of doing business. Good move.
I love Howard, and I was really happy that he was in Atlanta because I actually got to go to a game. It made me want to cheer for the Hawks. I went to the Celtics-Hawks game. It was awesome. I love seeing him play here. So the fact that he's moving again, like I just sent out that tweet that he's that's so funny that he's about to have as many teams as he has baby mamas, and it's kind of true. For real, for real. He keeps hopping around. This is his 13 and 3 years.
That was so hilarious.
For real, though, like, I was, like, disrespectful, but, I mean, Damon Wayans did write it, but, like, for real, like, this is... And for a while, I was hopping around with him. Like, for a while, I was diehard Dwight Howard. Wherever he went, that became my team. Really? That was all through high school. That was all through college. And now I'm like, dude, I'm exhausted. Like, I can't keep moving with you. But when he came to Atlanta, I was excited. So the fact that he's leaving again, I'm like, I'm done with you. We're over. I break up.
I'm not a fan of Dwight Howard. So anything that could get Dwight Howard out of town, I was all for. We are rebuilding here in Atlanta, so I'm okay with that. I'm cool with that. I don't know what's going to happen. Millsap may be gone because he may or may not re-sign. So, you know, I'm okay for starting over. It's about time. But anyway, we're not talking about the Hawks tonight. Moving on to the next topic, the Boston Celtics traded the number one pick, which is something that you rarely see. They moved down two slots. To the 76ers. The 76ers are expected to take point guard Markelle Fultz. So I'll throw this out there. FIFA, I'll start first with you. Did the Celtics couple of part questions. Did the Celtics make the right decision? How good do you think the Sixers can be? And who do you think the Celtics are going to get with this draft pick?
Okay. The Celtics made absolutely the right move. This is why you stockpile assets and young talent, because it gives you flexibility. And all Ainge is doing is just flexing his muscle and flexing his NBA know-how right now, because I think he's out GMing pretty much every GM right now in the NBA. So he definitely won. And what I think Philly can do with Markelle Fultz, he's the guy, or De'Aaron Fox. I just think that they need a wing scorer to balance out the core group that they have established there. For years, I've been praising Joel Embiid, telling you guys he was ready day one. And we saw it for 35 games this year. Hopefully, if he could play 60-plus, this is going to be a playoff contender team. Ben Simmons, I've also said on this for over a year, Ben Simmons is the guy. He is the guy that the torch is going to be passed from LeBron to this guy. That's where Ben Simmons is. And then to add a wing scorer that they are comparing to James Harden, I like him a little bit more than James Harden. I just think he has a little bit more heart. Because, you know, James shrinks in big moments. I don't know that Markelle Fultz will do that. But at the end of the day, he's 19. But I know he's talented. And I know what he brings is exactly what that Philadelphia team needs. So I love that pick. I love the aggressiveness by Philly to start to complete the process. Because you also have Dario Saric, which they traded Ersan Ilyasova so he could get the minutes because he was just playing that well. So they also got Robert Covington, which is their two-way guy. So really, they're just missing their starting two. Once they get that, they will be a complete team, at least in the starting lineup. They still got to build out that bench. I still think that they need to trade Jahlil Okafor, but great move by Philly, and he's going to be a perfect fit for them. The Celtics, I think, should take Jason Tatum.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is because if you look at where the NBA is going, and I've studied this, you got to have a guy from 6'7 to 6'10 with some length size that can play both sides of the court. And that's what Jason Tatum is. So I like the move if they do that. I also like the move if flip it for a Jimmy Butler or a Paul George, because that's exactly what they need on that team. So whether they draft that in this draft and think about the future, because I don't think that unless they get Jimmy and Gordon Hayward, that's the only way you could potentially win the East. But unless that happens, I think you need to be planning post-LeBron, because it's pretty soon, especially maybe in the East, because we don't know where he may go. So if you draft a young team, then when the time is right, then they can compete.
Yeah, I think that was the right decision, man. I think once Fultz went to that workout and had a great workout and a good rapport with the rest of the teammates, man, I saw the writing on the wall. So I think that's great. I think now you got somebody that's back there at the guard position with Ben Simmons, and then someone that can also take some of the ball handling skills away from Ben Simmons at times, and he can also score. So I think that's dope. I think Celtics at three, Josh Jackson, but they already got like enough of players with his size and strength already. Man, who else is sitting there at three?
Tatum, Jackson, those have been the names that they've thrown out.
Probably Tatum. I'd probably say Tatum. I say they should get him. But yeah, I think Philly need to get, man, some shooters, man. Philly need to get some shooters. They need to get somebody that's just like a knockdown three. They need some shooters. Because so far that roster, man, I don't see no one that's like a shooter, like someone that can fill that three ball up. They need someone that can fill that three ball up, even if it's someone that's off the bench.
Let me throw it over to our special guest, Starlet. Starlet, how do you, as far as what the Celtics did, do you think that they made the right decision? How good do you think the Sixers team could be? And who do you think the Celtics will draft?
Well, I have actually a question for you guys for clarification purposes. What did they trade for this pick? Because I know usually like bigger trades are made for the first pick, and I'm not sure exactly what they took from the 76ers? Was it like a future year trade?
Yeah, they got a future pick, and then they moved down to the third slot. So they switched
places. To the third slot.
Yeah, and then they have a future first round. And I want to say the Celtics now have, I think, 3 first-round picks next year, and I think 2 additional first-round picks in 2019. They have stockpiled. And the crazy thing about the Celtics is that the Celtics as an organization, they feel great about the position that they're in, but they mm-hmm. don't feel necessarily pressed to, because like they feel like they're ahead of the curve as far as where they should be. And so they're kind of playing with house money because they didn't expect to be this good this soon. So they're ahead of the curve. So they're basically saying, well, look, we have time. And so they're not in a – even though they made it to the Eastern Conference, I don't think the Celtics brass really felt like, okay, well, you know, we're going to beat the Cavs. But they like where they are. And like Ken mentioned, you know, they're kind of setting themselves up for the either LeBron to – or you know, LeBron and the Cavs to kind of fall off a little bit, or LeBron to leave the East altogether.
Right. I feel like where they're at, they're going to be in a good place. Who I think they'll take, I think it'll be either Tatum, or I've also read rumors about Fultz, mm-hmm. Which is at right now they have him like ranked 7, but who knows what'll happen. I think either way they do need help, but they have a lot of room to improve. Like this year, I really, really just wished all of that crap didn't happen. Like, during the series with their team, because they just went through it mm-hmm. because I would have loved to see them in the finals, but I knew it wasn't going to happen right when I found out they were playing the Cavs. I was like, dang, it's over. But I wanted to see them there at the end. So, I mean, I hope they can pull it through with whoever they get and get it together, because I would love to see the Celtics go all the way.
What about the Sixers? How good do you think this Sixers team could be if they draft Markelle Fultz with that young nucleus of Fultz, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons?
I think the Sixers are on their way up. I know they're really excited about the first draft pick and having the possibility to build their team and grow farther. I think right now they're in a building period, so their mind is on the future. They know they don't have it right now, but they're planning and they're working towards getting it together. So I think they'll be in a good spot.
I think they're going to get Josh Jackson. Okay. I think that's going to be the guy that they want, and it's part of the reason why they made this move. You know, reports were coming out. They liked, you know, him or Tatum. But, you know, if you can trade down and get him and then get assets in return, then why not? Do I think it was a good move? Absolutely. I don't think it was a good move. You got assets in return, but I think they're protected assets. And on top of that, from everything that I've seen, well, I've seen a couple of things, but I've seen people kind of say that Josh Jackson was the real deal. But I've seen a lot of people say Fultz was the real deal. And if you're going to put your future into the hands of Isaiah Thomas, then that's great. But if you got a guy at the point guard position that can get it done, then you got to take him in the point guard driven league that we're in right now, because you already have Jaylen Brown. And from what I've seen, it looks like that guy's oozing with talent. And as he continues to develop and grow, he's going to be a problem, and he's not afraid to muck it up. Like, he was all in LeBron's face. So with some more seasoning, I think the guy's going to be pretty good. So for me, you know, if you're building and trying to build for the future, I just like the Fultz move better than them going after another 3 guy. Philly, I think they'll be, you know, I think they can compete for an 8 spot. But they're going to have a hell of a nucleus with Fultz, Ben Simmons, and Embiid, you know, on that team. And they basically, if these guys can stay healthy and develop, they can be what we see Golden State is. They could be OKC when OKC drafted a lot of talent. So I think the ceiling is the roof for them, man.
You stupid, Ken.
Oh, man. Hey, man, it's like the party line right now, man. Joining us now for this segment is no stranger to the show, great friend of the show. He fills in all the time. My boy Q, the Six Man, resident Philly fan. Q, what up, man?
What's good, Kyle?
Chilling, up, man. So you heard the question, man. You know, what do you think? And we know you're a Sixers fan, so be unbiased. Do you think that the Celtics made the right decision in trading the pick? Then tell me who you think the Celtics would draft. And then lastly, tell me how good can the Sixers team be since you're the resident expert?
I'm going to just be very objective. Yeah, man, I don't know what Boston's doing. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm very perplexed by them trading them one pick. Every Boston fan that I've encountered, every Boston fan that I know has always maintained that Fultz is like probably once in every couple of years type of prospect, once every 10 years prospect for point guards to have the potential to get a variety of shots, a three-level score. He has potential in defense, and they just loved him. So I thought, oh, yeah, the Celtics are going to stick with this pick, and then they're going to build for the future. Because this entire time, I've been under the impression from Boston fans who told me that, and this is probably the main mantra that they have, is, well, we're building for the future while trying to be good right now. And I don't know if that can happen anymore. Because when you look at what Boston's doing, they have Jaylen Brown. They have aspirations to sign Gordon Hayward in free agency. They have Jay Crowder. Now you add them at the third pick, and you're saying that I'm hearing rumors of Tatum, Jackson. Those are forwards for one team. And two of them are capable starters. If just for the scenario that if you add Gordon Hayward, mm-hmm. and you want Jaylen to be your future. So it doesn't really make much sense to me why you would trade the pick if you have Fultz at point guard, because now you have the dilemma of if you pay a 5'9" point guard max money coming up next year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then you have to make a decision on Avery Bradley, to make a decision on a lot of contracts coming in. So I don't know what Boston is doing. I'm not going to say it's a bad move for them, because as a Sixers fan, I love it. You know what I'm saying? Colangelo reaped the benefits of what Sam Hinkie did. Sam Hinkie stacked the treasure chest. He stacked it for us, and Colangelo just had to just cash out. That's all he had to do. The protections on the picks that we have, by the way, it's a LA pick that we got in the Michael Carter Williams trade, which is protected 2 through 5. So if it lands number one, it stays with Philly. So the protection for that is that if it stays with Philly, they get the unprotected Sacramento Kings pick that we sent to them in 2019. So they get two picks, but really just one. So on the Philly side of things, this is really what the process has always been about. The process has always been about putting a guy beside Ben Simmons who can knock down threes, who can space the floor, and can guard guards. Because if Ben Simmons being 6'11", almost 7 feet now, you know, it's going to be hard for him to stick with guys like John Wall sometimes. You know, so you have to put the point guard, like a combo guard of Markel Fultz and tenure on him. So I'm loving just the fact that we traded for him. And the fact is that now you have to not just key in on Embiid. You have to not just key in on Ben Simmons. You have to worry about Fultz. And that's going to get open shooters for us. So who do I think Boston drafts as well? In my opinion, they should trade down again because I would just take Dennis Smith from NC State.
Okay.
That's who I think they should draft. Who will they draft? They'll probably end up taking a guy like Jason Tatum. I'm not really high on Duke players in the NBA. I don't think he plays any defense. He's an ISO scorer, you know, very spotty jumper. He can score, but just those guys who are ISO scorers, man, they scare me in the NBA, and I think Boston needs two-way guys. But, yeah, they probably do take Tatum, but I think they should trade down to get Dennis Smith. And how good can the Sixers be? This is a very loaded question because it depends on free agency.
Of course it is.
I think if you add in a guy like a J.J. Redick, which we have the money to sign him to a very lucrative three-year deal, he's 30 years old and he's looking for money. I think that completes the team. I think we also have enough money to add another guy like from Beasley's team, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, KCP. He wants his money too. We have enough money to sign those type of guys. if we are able to plug in those like wing guys along with Fultz, Simmons, and Embiid, I think we, and this is all contingent on if Embiid can stay healthy.
Right.
If Embiid can give me 60 games, that's all I need. If he can just give me 60 games and he's not out for the season, I think we can get at least 48 wins. And I think we'll be in the eighth spot or the seventh spot, to be so honest.
Hey, Q, man, I'm sick of hearing this trust the process crap. I bet it's some results in about another 2 or 3 years.
Man, I told y'all 3 years ago. Y'all thought I was crazy. But, you know, I like being right. You know what I'm saying?
You also told us hearing that catchphrase, was an innovator, too.
I mean, he did innovate, man. You know, he's the only coach to not have any wide receivers, but still, like, have an offense in the top five.
Just busting your child.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, man.
But go ahead.
I said, yeah, man, but that's, like, really what it is. I want to give a shout-out to FIFO because he's always been the one to believe. I know y'all was hating a little bit, but I'm not going to go up too much because we still got to see what they do on the floor.
Right.
But the future is very much bright, man. I love Brett Brown as a coach, and it's the margin for error is incredibly, like, large for Philly because we have so many assets to do things that, you know, you can't really mess this up too bad. And also Boston – they have a chance to get a guy like Michael Porter next year, which will be great for them also. So I don't hate what Boston's doing, and I don't necessarily think they know what they're doing really either. But I think they're really just going through it because Danny Ainge is probably a mediocre drafter at best. So I need to see something. I need to see results for his drafting before I say this is a great move. Because if you see Fultz in like a couple of years turning out to be this like transcendent player, people are going to look at Danny Ainge like, what in the world did you do? You know what I'm saying? Like, you had this right here. But yeah, that's pretty much it, y'all.
Hey, man. As always, Q, man, thanks for coming through and dropping knowledge on us, man.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Y'all Peace. Be good.
Trust the process.
Go Fifi.
Hey, go Fifi. He's stupid. Just to piggyback on what Q said, man, I agree. I think I was a little surprised that they traded the pick, even with the thought of in another year you'd be looking at maxing out the 5'9" Isaiah Thomas, who is a baller. I mean, he's a 30-point scorer. He plays the same position as Markelle Fultz. So, and I'm going to be honest, and I've said this before in this podcast, and so, you know, we keep it real on here. I've never seen Markelle Fultz play. So I'm not even going to sit here and act like I saw a whole bunch of, you know, his games in Washington, because those games came on way too late for me. That being said, I know that, you know, just from what I've seen as far as the clips, is that he is, you know, a legitimate pro prospect. I think if Danny Ainge is going to make this decision, and I mean, we don't have anything so far to, you know, kind of question him on as far as his draft moves per se. But if this kid turns out to be a star and you pass on him, and let's say you draft Jason Tatum, who I think they're going to take, you know, it's going to be problems for him. And I mean, these are the kind of moves that can help, that can cause you to lose your job. But I think, you know, for what they're doing, I think the Celtics are just stockpiling assets and picks and stuff. And that's okay. But I think at some point you got to cash in on it. And they're doing it slowly but surely. And as I mentioned at the top, I think it's based on where they are, where they think they are as a franchise. So I'm okay with that. I think, like I said, ultimately, I think they're going to draft Tatum. As far as the Sixers, I think this team, if healthy, could be very scary to be as young as they are. Now, I won't go as far as Q saying that they're going to win 48 games and make the Eastern, you know, make the playoffs. But the thing that concerns me is that when you look at Markelle Fultz, if I'm not mistaken, he had knee injury when he was in school at Washington. Ben Simmons didn't play last year, foot injury. And we all know, you know, Embiid, he's been in the league, I guess this is what, his third year, and he's only played like maybe 60 something games.
Stay off those rap stages.
So you know, it's health. And I mean, like, it's not cool to be young and have these kind of injuries. And yeah, they, you know, you can get around that kind of thing, but a big guy to have foot problems, you know, and we talked about it before in this podcast. If this guy stays healthy, I mean, sky's the limit. He is a bona fide all-star probably for the next 10 to 12 years. But he's got to stay healthy, and that's the key thing. So we'll see how it plays out. I think if nothing else, and FIFA, correct me if I'm wrong, but Simmons and Embiid won't be playing in Summer League, correct?
You are correct. Okay. They are not playing in Summer League.
So we won't get a chance to see them until next preseason, but put them on your radar. It's kind of hard to tell what's going on in Cleveland. As we mentioned at the top, the general manager, David Griffin, has been fired, or he was, his contract was not renewed. He actually will no longer be an employee after June 30th.
Yeah, he got fired.
That's what that means. Yeah,
he ironically enough, he got fired while trying to work on this Jimmy Butler deal. Now, the Cavs have released a statement, or at least in the circles, have said that David Griffin wanted more money, and you know, Dan Gilbert, the owner, was just like, "Nah, we're not paying you any more money." And what's interesting is that David Griffin is one of the, if not the, least paid GMs in the league. They have the highest, the Cavs have the highest payroll in the league, but they don't pay their GM basically, according to, you know, as much as other GMs in the NBA make. Nonetheless, and I text you guys this, I found this move to be strange. For one, they didn't notify LeBron about it. Not that Dan Gilbert, I don't know how, I mean, at this point, we don't know how many conversations LeBron and Dan Gilbert actually have. But from the outside looking in, Griffin seemed to be the in-between between, you know, Gilbert and LeBron. And so with that piece being gone, I don't know how much interaction or if there will be any interaction between Dan Gilbert and LeBron James. And keep in mind that in 2018, LeBron James is once again a free agent. We started hearing rumors not long after the confetti dropped a couple of weeks ago for the finals that LeBron could possibly be eyeing L.A. We know he has a home out there. There was some rumors. There's some rumors that came out today about his wife, Savannah, is very partial to living in L.A. Everybody knows that LeBron has outside interests of basketball, and they all involve Hollywood. So all of that being said, and it's, I almost feel cheap by even talking about it because it's already a year away, but these are so many pieces that aren't, that don't really seem to be falling in the place of the Cavaliers. I mean, they're trying to, you know, get guys like Jimmy Butler and, you know, Paul George, and LeBron could very well be on his way out the door. So, Ken, I'll throw it to you. What do you think is going to ultimately happen? And more importantly, if LeBron left, how do you think the city would react?
Well, first of all, this is a hot mess. I think for me, man, when I first saw it, and there were rumors of David Griffin wanting to leave, Gilbert was player hating and didn't want to let him go on any interviews, so he was essentially out there cop blocking.
Right.
And only to fire the guy. Now the guy can't get a job. You know, so that's messed up and that's jacked up, but that seems to be the kind of guy that he is. Mm-hmm. I think that, for me, I think he knows that it's over. It's over, man. And he didn't want to invest in Griffin post LeBron. And Cleveland is about to enter a post LeBron era. And Kyrie has spoken up and said he wants out. They're more than likely probably will trade Love if they're going to make another go for it. And, you know, Griffin, I guess, essentially don't want to be caught like he was last time. I think the city will be okay. They better be okay. He brought him a championship.
Right.
You know, he came back and made amends for what he did last time when he left. So him leaving actually turned out to be a benefit to them in the end. So I don't think they'll be upset. I would hope that based on the way things are playing out now and with all of the information that's starting to come out a year in advance, they're prepared for what could be the inevitable, whereas a couple of years ago, they were not.
Right.
When he left the first time, they had hopes and dreams that he would come back, but they were cautious and scared that he would leave, and ultimately he did, because he didn't let them know which way he was going to go. He just held a press conference, said he was out, he's going to go to South Beach, that was it. But now, you know, they're leaking this information, they're saying this could happen, and when you look at what's going on with Golden State, I mean, you have to be honest with yourself as an organization and as a team to be like, man, do we even really have a shot?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, a lot of information out there. We hear about Chauncey Billups and, you know, they like him and Lou likes him and LeBron will be okay with him, this, that, and the other, man. But LeBron's a businessman. We know that. And we all know, Kyle, you know, man, we saw what was going to happen when he went back to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. When the missus speak, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
She said, we're going back to Ohio before LeBron even said anything. We said it on this show. He going back because she said it. I don't follow her like that. I haven't heard her talk about L.A. This is news to me. But once I heard her mention L.A., oh, that was it. That's all I need to know.
Right, that's all I need to know.
I don't need to know anything else.
I echo that. As a married man, if your wife says, look, I want to move, you probably going to move. That's just the way that it works. Now, it may not be to where she wants to go because, you know, I know there was some reluctancy about moving back to Cleveland that LeBron revealed, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But you're right about that. Starlet, what about you? It's out there on the table.
Mm-hmm.
We're hearing the whispers again. We know that he's going to be a free agent. They in essence, and I forgot to mention, LeBron did send a tweet last night, you know, thanking Griff, David Griffin, for the job that he did. And I think his tweet said something like, if no one else appreciates you, I did. Like, and of course, he's subtweeting, you know, David. He's subtweeting the owner, you know, Dan Gilbert.
Of course.
So my question is, do you think that he will? And also, how do you think the city of Cleveland would react if he did?
Well, I've been saying he will since the beginning of the series. So, like, I knew he would leave, especially if they lost this time, because he wants wins. It's just embedded in who he is. He wants the W, and that is fine. And I had a feeling that he was just, he's getting tired with having to pull so much weight with the Cavs. So I already felt that he was going to leave. So when you guys told me that it was being hinted, I was like, yes, called it, totally. Now, what do I think the city will do? I think the city will be extremely mad all over again. I feel like they really want him to be like, Kobe. I do.
So? Wow.
I feel like they would want him to almost be like Kobe and just stay. Like, please just stay with us. Like, Cleveland has almost made LeBron their god. And yes, he is giving them warning. It's not like last time. He's doing things much better this time if he does decide to leave, which he will. But I still think that the city's going to be hurt. They're going to be pissed. And they're going to show it just like they did last time. They're going to be butthurt.
I think they will.
I don't think they're going to be out there burning jerseys and stuff like that.
I don't think they're going to be burning jerseys and everything.
People are always going to be burning jerseys. I don't care what you say.
Which
people
I don't
are
understand.
Always going to be burning jerseys.
They burn folks' jersey. And he had.
That's crazy.
No, it makes no sense. You spent your good old money on that. It will be worth something someday. Calm down. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. But it will happen. I don't think it'll be like as big of a catastrophe as it was last time. I don't think the whole city will fall apart. But I do think they are going to be upset as a whole. It'll just be a longer fuming process than like short and like really angry.
No doubt. What about you, B? Weigh in on this, man. What do you think?
Yeah, the writing is definitely on the wall. He's going to L.A., whether if it's a Laker or a Clipper. Because, you know, let's not forget, Jerry West is now ahead of the Clippers. Well, I think GM or basketball, operations of basketball over at Clippers. And we've all know what Jerry West is able to do once he's in that position. He's made some good moves. He knows how to whip a team in shape. So I know his first task is to try to keep Chris Paul up at Clippers. But, yeah, I think LeBron, the writing is definitely on the wall. he's not going to remain the Cavaliers after this 2017-2018 NBA season, regardless if they win championship or not. I think he's still going to be out of there because, like Ken said, he wrote in the letter, he came back and did, and he promised what he was going to do. That was win a championship, bring a championship to Cleveland, and he did, brought him their first championship since 1964. If he leaves, and I think Star just said it, he's going to leave on better terms. It's not going to be no unexpected decision. I don't think fans are going to be upset, but I don't think they're going to be the same amount of upset as they was when he left in 2010. I doubt that. But, yeah, he's going to be out of there. It's just a matter of if he's going to be in that purple and gold or that white, red, white, and blue.
Okay. FIFO, man. Here we are again, man. It seems like we've talked about this, and I'm sure this won't be the last time that we talk about it. Especially as we head into the 2017-2018 season. But, hey, man, what do you think? Do you think that he would actually leave the city of Cleveland? And if so, how do you think they would react?
Look, all I know is that Cleveland better be grateful.
Thank you.
Man, how long has it been since you had a championship? Man, you better be like, yo, bro.
Since February the 32nd.
There you go, the 32nd. So, you know, like, hey, look, man, y'all just ain't, there should be no burning of the jersey.
Right.
Nothing.
There should be none of that. All you could do is just say thank you, bro. Because, look, man, what type of fan base would you be that this guy, he brought the whole state a championship and you can't be grateful? Man, that would suck for Cleveland. That would really suck. But, where does Bron go? I think he needs to go out west. Mm-hmm. I think he should go play for Pop.
Pop? Okay.
I think here's the thing, right? Like, of course, LA sounds nice, but at the end of the day, you got to win the chip, right? If LeBron leaves the East, the West is going to win championships for the next 10, 15 years, right? They're going to be favored to win for at least the next 8 to 10 years. They're going to be favored to win. So if Bron goes to San Antonio, he's not going to lose any more finals because if he doesn't beat Golden State Warriors, he won't make it. But if he makes it, it should be a cakewalk, shouldn't it? So you get to play under Greg Popovich, which is the best coach. You get to play with Kawhi Leonard, a guy that can definitely guard Durant. And you already know Pop is going to turn nothing into something. He's going to drive somebody that's going to be like, wow, I didn't know you was going to be this. Just like you did with Kawhi, just like he did with everybody else that he's had through that organization. Right? So I think San Antonio, from a basketball perspective, will be LeBron's best move.
Okay. I did not hear that. I didn't expect that answer. Okay. You got some points there.
But FIFO, can you imagine? Because has the Clippers organization ever won a championship?
No.
Nah.
Can you imagine like what that dude? How much that would add if he go to LA and like say if Jerry West put together this nice squad out in LA and he won a championship for the Clippers? That would be kind of nuts. That would be kind of crazy. Yeah. Like just that, but after him to add that to his legacy, you know what I'm saying? Brought Cleveland right. Championship. Now you went to bananas. Clippers. You went to the stepbrother of the Lakers, and you won them a championship. Like that'd be crazy.
Yeah,
I would be. I don't know, man. Call me crazy, but I just didn't think that I would. I didn't think that we'd be having this discussion about LeBron leaving Cleveland again. Not that he owes the city of Cleveland anything, because like you said, people, if anything, they should be grateful, because we all know that Cleveland has, you know, they haven't won anything or they didn't win anything prior to him getting there. And he's done more than enough and they've gotten more than enough warning that he may be on the first thing smoking out of there. With that being said, and I'm not by any stretch of imagination a Cavs fan. I would like to see him stay there and fight the fight if that's what he wants to do. Time will tell if that's what he wants to do, but I would like to see him stay there. But I could, you know, with the relationship that he has with Chris Paul, and, you know, he's talked about, you know, with the possibility of playing with Carmelo and Chris Paul, I could see him, you know, being in L.A. with the Clippers or the Lakers and playing with his friends and, you know, just kind of riding off into the sunset in that fashion. It's still,
the banana boat crew?
with the banana boat crew. It's, to be honest, it's still a little surprising to me, though. You know, but with the dysfunctionality that's going on with the Cavs right now, I mean, at the end of the day, can you blame him? I mean, like, they don't have a GM in place. You know, they're talking about bringing in Chauncey Billups and whomever they bring in. It doesn't sound to me like they're going to consult with LeBron about it. So, you know, if you have the guy who was the conduit between ownership and LeBron, and now all of a sudden he's gone, and, you know, you just have these issues. I don't know. And again, we're on the outside looking at it, so we don't know how good or how bad it is for LeBron in Cleveland as far as how he deals with management. How the city should react, I'm pretty sure the city's going to lose a lot of money. But they should be grateful. Nonetheless, they should be extremely grateful because, you know, he's made them relevant. And no matter what happens, even if they never win another championship, the one that they got is special, you know, because they beat the all-time greatest regular season team. And they did it in comeback fashion. And you know, that's something that, you know, even the most diehard Cleveland fan will be able to tell their kids and their grandkids about what they witnessed LeBron James do. So, nah, they don't have a reason to be mad. And they damn sure shouldn't be burning anybody's jersey or getting upset or taking down murals. Because he, not only has he done a lot on the court, but he's probably done more off the court than he has on the court. With his scholarships that he's paying for kids to go to college and things of that nature, his donations and things of that nature. I mean, like, his list of accomplishments off the court will one day supersede what he's done on the court. So he's talking about opening charter schools and things of that nature. So, you can't. And all of this is being done in Cleveland and Akron, Ohio area. So, you can't be mad. You can't be mad. You have to kind of just tip your cap and thank him for the years that he gave you, and hopefully, you know, he comes back that one day and retires as a Cav and, you know, have his jersey hanging in the rafters and the whole nine. But you can't be mad. You just can't be mad. You are listening to the Dead End Sports Podcast. This is a weekly sports podcast. We like to call it the best couple of hours of your sports week. This is the place where sports opinions collide. I am your host, 12 Kyle, joined by my partners in crime, Beezy, FIFO, and Ken, and tonight we have a special co-host, Starla Hill. Speaking of LeBron, LeBron had somewhat of a war of words with your man Draymond Green. LeBron said that, you know, according to him, he had, quote, never played on a super team. Draymond Green took the microphone at the parade ceremony when the Golden State Warriors won their title just last week. He chastised LeBron by saying, you know, LeBron, quote, created the super team. So, FIFO, I'll start right there with you, man. As far as super teams, man, do you think that, because this is somewhat of what we've talked about for, you know, for the better part of this podcast. You know, who can we get? Who can you put here? Which guy can go there so that they can form up a formidable task to take down this Warriors team? So in essence, we've kind of been talking about super teams. If you're putting a guy here or a guy there and taking this guy here and putting him there, do you think the super teams are here to stay?
Super teams were here from the beginning. What are we talking about? I think that this is the biggest misconception about NBA basketball. There has always been super teams. The difference is that now the players decide which teams are going to be super. That's the only difference. You mean to tell me that those Boston Celtics teams of Larry Bird were not super teams? Was that not a super team to you?
Mm-hmm.
Were Magic Johnson's Lakers not super teams? Those were some super teams. So it's been here for forever. Just now the players have more control of their destiny and where they decide to play. That's the only difference. But the thing is that we have not seen the amount of talent on one team that Golden State possesses because the NBA game has evolved and it's different. And all of these old heads talking about, oh, you know, we would have swept the man. Look, 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 man.
Look, man, these boys got some talent out here. But LeBron did not create the super team. The super team has always been here. I think LeBron created the decision. Now, what are you going to decide? I think he made it in vogue to take the bull by the horns and be like, nah, that's not what's going to happen. I'm going to sign a short-term deal with some options, and I'm going to always keep it open, because that keeps you in the leverage position. And LeBron, we know him as a shrewd businessman, and he's taking his NBA career in the same way, where almost every other basketball player is going to sign a long-term deal for the most amount of money. That's not Bron's MO. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at the end of the day, super teams have been here, man. And now they just decide. The players decide. And I'm okay with that. It's better for the NBA. These have been the highest rated finals since, I want to say, Michael Jordan finals.
That is correct.
So, you know, like, it's great for the NBA. And now look at all of the movement that were happening in the summertime. The NBA is owning this time right now. That's the only thing you could talk about. NFL what? Look at all these guys getting traded picks here. Lonzo Ball story. This right now is what all of that creates. So I love it. LeBron created it when he went to Miami. Boston created it when they traded for Ray Allen and KG. So it's always been here, man. It has always been here. It has always been. You mean to tell me that Portland team with Steve Smith, Scottie Pippen, Damon Stoudemire, Arvydas Sabonis, Brian Grant, Bonzi Wells, and Rasheed Wallace is not a super team? That's not a super team to you? Man, come on.
Shaq face.
Man. What about you, Ken?
You too, Ken.
What about you?
Nah, you tripping, man. Come on, Ralph. Quick. You trying to play like word games, man. You're trying to play games with the people, man. You're not being genuine with the people,
speak
man.
Speak on it, Ken.
Like yeah, there's always been great teams. And see, throughout this whole season, people have been talking about, oh, they're, you know, what's the difference between, you know, the GMs putting the team together versus a player making a decision to go. Yeah, LeBron was the decision, but KD is an elite player who decided to cheapen the championship process by going to Golden State, a 73-9 team, therefore creating a super team, a team that no one has a chance of beating, not even the best player in the world, who had to put up Herculean efforts to even get a game. And now you're trying to tell me that super teams have always been here? No, there have always been great teams that have been dynasties. But when we're talking about a super teams, we're talking about essentially superheroes banding together on one team coming to play. They're great individually. Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Wolverine, the Hulk, the Thor, Captain America, they all have their own comic book series. They all have,
I noticed that.
Because they're all superheroes. They all have their own individual movies, but you know what happens? They come together to be a super team when they're the Avengers or the Justice League. That's the difference.
So by your logic, the only super team ever is these Golden State Warriors.
No. Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh were ballers. I disagree with what LeBron is saying. LeBron flat out lying.
Okay.
LeBron don't want to take blame for getting his ass kicked in the finals. That's all it is. He's trying to deflect. Everybody's trying to deflect. And that's what he's trying to do. Bro, you created the super team. This is you.
He didn't create. All right.
He didn't create the super team. Boston did that when they decided to go out and make all, you know, when they KG, because somebody had to get, Paul Pierce had to get on the phone with KG and Ray Allen and be like, yo, look, we need to make this happen. And then it happened, and they were demolishing everybody.
Okay, B.
Quit lying to the people, Ralph.
B, what about you, man? Super teams. Do you think that they're here to stay? And do you think LeBron has ever played on a super team?
Yeah, LeBron played on the super team. I mean, to FIFO's point, See, and it's funny you mentioned it, FIFO. I was watching. You know, I'm pretty sure I don't know if everyone watched the Lakers, the 30 for 30.
Yeah, I saw that.
Versus Celtics. Yeah, the difference is back then, yeah, GMs were you know, they were the head honchos when it came to – because, like, when Red Auerbach, how he was, like, moving and grooving to like, get certain picks or, like, get certain trades to get players there, man, like, that people didn't think that were going to pan out, and Red Auerbach saw that. Like, GMs were really GMs back then. Like, they was really orchestrating teams, mm-hmm. put together the right pieces together for those teams to be dynasties or win multiple championships or whatever, where, like, now, like people said – players are starting to be in control. And I think a lot of people are so used to, you know, people like myself or Ken or whatever, or, you know, my other friends, so used to seeing smart GMs make smart moves and, you know, and making the right moves for their teams so their teams can be successful for multiple years and not just a 1 year pan out thing and let it go. Now, this year now in the current NBA, we're seeing more teams saying, hey, look, no, I want to go there. I want to play there, or I want to play there, or I want to play there. So, you know, it's just the thing now. It's just the GMs in control back then. Now the players in control. It's just more so of what you prefer, or if you just want to just get adjusted to. But yeah, LeBron, you played on a super team, bro. Like, don't when you joined Miami Heat. Of course, there wasn't a 73 win team. There was a first round exit playoff team when he joined them. But you was joining a player at that time that was easily top five in the league in Dwayne Wade. And Chris Bosh was top three at his position at that time. So,
and bro, he called Melo. He tried to get Melo too.
Right. So you play on a super team, Brian. Like, don't deny that, Brian. You play on a super team. But I mean, yeah, it's always been super teams. It's just been, well, not really. Let's say super teams. You just had a couple of them, but there was all orchestrated by the GMs. The GMs and the presidents, the ones that made the smart move, because, you know,
they were.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, dude.
No, I'm just saying, because, hell, even Isaiah said if Jordan would have wanted to come play with the Pistons, yeah, they would have hated it. But guess what? He'd have been like, yo, what's up, my man? Welcome to the Pistons. But Isaiah also said he wouldn't have joined no Celtics or Lakers or Bulls, you know. But he said if Bird and Magic and them won, or Jordan wanted to come to the Pistons.
He didn't want to play with Isaiah.
Right. I mean, he just said, like, if. They
would have
been.
I'm messing with you.
Pistons. Yeah, you know, like Isaiah would have welcomed him with open arms. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I just think GMs were more in control back then compared to now. But LeBron, you lying to yourself, bro.
And the GMs were like Charles Xavier, right? Because right. Charles Xavier went out and found all the mutants to put on his team.
Right.
You
right.
know, he went out. You yeah, know that that's what they were. They were the X-Men.
Yeah, he knew what goons he wanted to get. He know he wanted they knew what superstar they wanted to have, what defensive player they wanted to have. Like they orchestrated that. You know what I'm saying? Where now players are in control.
I feel like Ken is giving a minor history lesson here in Marvel and DC Comics.
I know, right?
Starlet, what about you? Do you think that the super teams are here to stay? And do you think that LeBron has played on a super team?
Yes and yes. That when I heard that statement, I was at work and I've never yelled at a TV in front of people at my job, but I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, I just went off. Like, I lost it. Like, is he serious? Like, he didn't invent the super team. Like, he didn't by any means, but like y'all said, like, I think now, where before it was the GMs putting together great teams. Like, when I think super team, originally what came to my mind was the 1996 Bulls. But, like, with these players coming together, now players are making their own trades. Like, they know their worth. Like, they're calling the shots more than the GMs. And with Miami, that was definitely a super team. Like, they had that unlocked. But my thing is, like, is it even fair anymore? Because like you said, with the series, it kind of was like, once Durant was in, it was kind of like, okay, well, this is a done deal. Like, where can we go from here? Like, the best team against the best player in the world, you know? So it's like, I don't even think super teams are kind of even fair, but you kind of can't stop them either. But yeah, he definitely was just trying to, like, brush it over, be like, oh yeah, we lost. They shouldn't have even won the game they won. Whatever. No, they shouldn't have. It was rigged because the NBA is a business.
That game, but game five anyway. Was rigged when they didn't call that foul on KD.
Are you kidding? Okay, we ain't even see anyone.
All right. She had flashbacks like, wait a minute.
Well, Skip Bayless, you know it and I know it.
Oh, no. Man. They should have won in four. It should have been a done deal. They just needed that one more game for the money. It's all about the money, baby. And, I mean, they got it, but whatever. I think if these super teams are going to keep continuing the way they are, it's almost going to make the series at the end of it, like, just kind of boring, like, null and void. Like, we're already going to know what's going to happen.
I think, first and foremost, I agree 1,000% with FIFO. Super teams have been around forever. So for all of you listening, shameless plug coming up right here. For all of you listening to this podcast, when you finish listening to this podcast, go check out my latest podcast. It's called the 12 Kyle Podcast. I did a podcast called Super Teams in the NBA Are Not New. So just it's on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, anywhere you can find a podcast is there. It's called NBA Super Teams in the NBA Are Not New. What I did was I based it on just a couple of criteria. You got to have at least three all-stars on the team, right? To be considered to be a super team. Of those all-stars, they have to be an all-star within that period of time or have been an all-star before between a 1 to 3 year period. Just on that criteria alone, Kenneth, I found 13 teams. And I started with 1980 and came on down because that's when I started watching basketball in 1980. So it starts first with the L.A. Lakers. The Lakers that ran from 1981 to 1989. That was a super team. They had five guys who had made the All-Star team. So, you know, and there's no knock on it. Now, like FIFO said, the difference is nowadays, you know, the players are making the decisions. And that's why the question about LeBron is very intriguing as far as 2018, because for all we know, LeBron could be making phone calls right now to CP3 and Carmelo or whomever. Hey, man, you know, I'm really looking at L.A. next year. Why don't you come play with me? I mean, like, we've heard the rumors and it's pretty much been confirmed about how Draymond Green was openly recruiting Kevin Durant during that 73-9 run. And they're playing against him, and he's openly recruited. He's not doing it, you know, in front of people, but, you know, backdoor channels. These guys, they hang out together. They're friends. They, you know, they kick it like that. So I agree 100% with FIFO. So go and listen to the podcast. I give you 13 teams that were super teams, and one of which was the Miami Heat-led, you know, super team that LeBron had. So and I've even even a funny thing in doing some research for the podcast, I saw where a Golden State fan tried to make a case that this current team was not a super team because three of their four all-stars were drafted by the team. Now, that's rare. Most teams don't draft this kind of talent, you know. So to Golden State's credit, yeah, they did draft Curry. They did draft, you know, Draymond. Mm-hmm. They did draft Klay Thompson. But come on, man. You went from 73-9, and then you got the second best player in the league. Now, like Starlet said, it's almost to the point where it's not fair to some degree.
Right.
But super teams, they're not going anywhere. And like FIFO started by saying, they've always been here. You know, we just didn't call them super teams, but those 80s Celtics, there's even a couple of super teams that I name on the podcast that you probably don't even consider to be a super team, like the 94-95 Orlando Magic. So listen to the podcast. I make some compelling cases for all of these teams being super teams. If you have an issue with it, hit me up. I'll be more than happy to defend my point. But, nah, super teams are here to stay. And LeBron is crazy. And I think he's deflecting if he thinks that he doesn't play. I mean, he's on a super team now. With the ratings being as high as it is, I think, you know, like people said, nothing's going to change. I mean, Paul George is setting himself up to where he can either be in a place where he can recruit guys to come. I mean, we've seen it happen. We've seen Kobe do it. We've seen, you know, the greatest players do it. So, you know, it is what it is. I don't think it's necessarily bad for basketball. The players, while they have a little bit of leverage, they're going to use that leverage to their advantage. Whereas I think players 20 years ago may have had some leverage, but they couldn't use the leverage the way that these players are doing it now. You know, these players are smart. They know how much money they're going to make. They know where they want to play. I mean, you know, we talked about it earlier. LeBron has interest off the court. He wants to one day become an owner, but, you know, I guess in his immediate retirement, he wants to take over Hollywood. And I mean, he's done well thus far, having, you know, only a small foot in the game. So, you know, these players, they are very much business savvy. So, I'm not mad at them for wanting to maximize their marketing potential, because keep in mind, at some point, LeBron James and the likes of him and Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, they're going to go from being these great players that they are to, you know, average players. That's just time takes that over. So you have to maximize the time and the efforts. And, you know, guys are trying to win rings. I get that guys are either trying to win rings or get paid or both. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
you guys are driving me crazy. You guys know what context that the word super team is being applied here.
But Ken, I came up with 13 teams. 13.
But that's
with at least three all-stars, Ken.
But that's not how they're defining super teams today. Like you said, they didn't call them super teams. We're talking about super teams in the context of players of today, of superstars of today going to play with each other on one team. That's the difference. That's why they're calling them super teams. Not that these great teams didn't exist. Not that these great teams that had via trade or via draft didn't acquire players that were all-stars that turned into a super team. We're talking about the players making the decision. What Raph talking about was like the decision. The decision here is the key. It's the key element in which we're defining super team.
But what's the end result, though? The end result is you're playing on the team, right?
But we're talking about how the teams are the difference is not the results, but the means and how the teams are crafting and put together.
Okay, so then that goes back to this point. It's either the GM or the players.
Call them super teams. That's why they didn't call them super teams back in the day.
They didn't call them super teams because there wasn't social media to come up with this kind of dumb stuff.
Right.
Oh, y'all tripping.
This stuff was said in the barbershop. It's just, you know, everybody didn't have, you know, 20,000 followers back then. You know, there was no social media. So now you can come up with the definition for it. Go ahead, FIFO.
So why aren't those other squads not super teams?
Because when I hear the word super team and the way they are applying it to teams today, they're applying it to teams that have superstars that were superstars on other teams that have carried their teams that have come together for one common goal, not drafted, not put together by the GMs that made a decision to get on a team. Like Golden State, before they got KD, they were not a super team. KD going to that team turned them into a super team. Minnesota, San Francisco, Minnesota turned into this great
super team. They had three all-stars prior to KD. They were a super team.
They had three all-stars, but KD turned them into a super team.
Wait, hold on, Ken. So we weren't calling Golden State a super team before KD?
I think you were.
So
I don't remember anybody saying that.
We need to pull out the tape.
Before they got KD.
Ken, hold on. How do you explain 73-9 and not being a super team, Ken? How do you explain that?
Who called them a super team last year?
I think
that's what I'm asking.
Probably talking about
nobody were calling them super teams last year. I think they called them a super team this year.
I think it's more semantics, though, Ken. But what FIFO and I are saying is, when you look at the bottom line, at the end of the day, when you look at the players that they have, like, and I'm looking at this list, right? And I'm just going to give you another team that I talked about on the podcast, the '96-'99 Rockets. That team had Charles Barkley, a former MVP, Scottie Pippen, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Clyde Drexler. Those are 1, 2, 3, 4 Hall of Famers. That was a super team. Now, was somebody calling them in 1999 a super team? No, because nobody had thought of this crazy term to give them, but that's what they were. And what did they get? Nothing. They didn't win a championship. They went 57-25, 41-41, and 31-19 in a strike-shortened season.
B, didn't your Detroit Pistons get Adrian Dantley? Wasn't he an MVP of the NBA?
They did, but I don't think – I think that team only had, I think that team only had two All-Stars at the time. So by my definition, I wouldn't qualify them as a super team, only having two All-Stars in Dantley and Zeke. But nonetheless, I mean, you know, they were a great team. But, yeah, he, if I'm not mistaken, he was a former MVP. And this does include your Miami Heat, Ken. D-Wade-led Miami Heat.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Okay.
I said he played on a super team. I'm just saying that, yeah, it is some matches, but for me, it's the way the word super team is applied. It's not that super teams, quote unquote, didn't exist. Like, if you want to define it another way, yeah, you can go back. If you want to define it the way you're saying, hey, we had all these all-stars, this, that, and that, yeah, you can find super teams. But when you take a great team and then you take the second best player and put it on that team, they become a super team. If LeBron went to Minnesota with all of their great young talent, that becomes a super team.
Because, you can put LeBron on just about any team and they'll be a super team.
I mean, yeah, that's true. But, you know, him going to Miami, that was a super team. Right.
And you know, and in fairness, and not to just dump on LeBron, I mean, Kevin Durant has actually sidestepped the question as to whether or not his team is a super team, which I think is preposterous.
Of course it's a super team.
Of course it's a super team.
And that just shows how soft he is. Why don't you just own it, dog? Like, you went to create your super team. You got your chip. You won at the end of the day. Be like, yep, I'm on the super team. And what? Come get me. Come beat me.
All I can say is just like 20, 25, 30 years ago, man, it ain't going to matter. Because I... And trust me, when you hear the podcast and you hear me rattle off some of these teams, you're going to go, oh, yeah, that's right. But, you know, it's not going to matter because these teams won. And at the end of the day, as fans, that's all we care about.
The Clippers are exploring getting rid of DeAndre Jordan. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I saw that while we were
Jerry West on the move already. Nothing's imminent, they're
fielding calls.
Which is going to be interesting. So that's going to be an interesting story to watch.
If I'm Boston, I'm exploring DeAndre Jordan.
Work?
Yeah, because think about the future assets they got, right? Like what the Clippers may want is going to be future assets, right? Like you got to draft guys. I always say it. Like, you could buy your team or you could draft your team. I'd rather draft my team because I know what I'm getting. And Boston has that. So if you put DeAndre Jordan next to an Al Horford, next to a Gordon Hayward, next to a potentially Jimmy Butler, I don't know what Cleveland going to do. But Cleveland is not beating that. And we know how deep Boston is already. Mm-hmm. So if you let go of a Jay Crowder or a man, oh, man. I think a team like that can make it out of the East, especially coach like Brad Stevens.
The Lakers tried to trade the number 2 pick to the Kings for the 5th and 10th pick or something like that. Number 5s and number 10s. According to a couple of reports, they have a path to Paul George, possibly giving up the 27 and 28th picks to get him. But the interesting thing for me that stood out is the fact that they're still trying to get rid of this number 2 pick. Ralph, you are a firm believer in Lonzo Ball.
Ugh.
Why are they doing this, dog? Like, they even Lonzo like that anymore?
I think that Magic is just being a shrewd businessman. He's trying to keep all options open. And I don't know why they're not all the way sold on Lonzo.
But you just got rid of D'Angelo Russell, right? D'Angelo Russell was moved.
Exactly. So here's the thing. I was watching Colin about a week or so ago, and he said something that, you know, obviously I'm not in the industry way, but it made a lot of sense. A lot of these teams let you know what they want you to know.
Right.
It's out there that the Lakers didn't like Lonzo. It was out there that the Lakers weren't all the way sold on Lonzo. It's out there that they're still trying to shop the number 2 pick. But then you D'Angelo Russell. Mm-hmm. So actions and words, huh? So I'm gonna go by the maxions, man. You're not going to get rid of a point guard not to draft a point guard. That don't make no sense. If you don't draft Lonzo, right, or if you go another route, it is what it is. But you don't trade D'Angelo Russell and not thinking about taking another point guard. That's all I'm saying.
Moving on to our final topic, man. Big major boxing news went down this past weekend. The date has been set. Conor McGregor and Floyd Money Mayweather are set to battle and duke it out, man. It's coming up in August. The boxing match is set. Conor McGregor from MMA fame and the semi-retired Floyd Money Mayweather, who is undefeated, will dance in the square circle, man. So you got a guy who fights, I guess, if you want to call it, for a living, and a boxer. Starlet.
Yes.
Do you care that this fight is happening, and how do you think it's going to go?
I care so much.
Really?
Oh my gosh, I cannot stand Mayweather. I really hope McGregor knocks the crap out of him. Do I think it's likely? No.
Okay.
Do I think Mayweather will destroy him? Probably so. Okay. Just because I feel like McGregor's going to want to go for those illegal moves. Like, it's in his nature. Like, boxers, they're used to, like, putting their face forward so that, like, the hit's a less of an impact. McGregor's going to be like, why is he giving me his face? And, like, elbow him. It's going to happen. And they're going to get called. But, like, the way I see it is, either way, this is a huge payday for McGregor. He would never make almost $100 million doing MMA. So you can beat me up for $100 million. I don't care. I'll take a hit from Mayweather. Like, you can beat the crap out of me. So, like, all I'm saying is I hope McGregor wins. I hope he takes him down. I don't think as many people care. I just really can't stand Floyd. So I was so hyped when I saw that this fight was coming up. But I do think it's going to be in Floyd's favor because it's what he does. So, you know, it is what it is.
No doubt. No doubt. What about you, FIFO? It's set, man. McGregor, Mayweather, man. Do you care that this fight is happening? And how do you think it's going to go?
I honestly don't care. You know, I'm happy for Mayweather and McGregor to make this money. You know, it's bigger than Pacquiao money. So you know, I already know that's how Floyd's thinking. I know that's why he agreed to it. So I'm cool with it. I think it's definitely going to be interesting. Am I going to watch? I'm going to watch because for me, pound for pound, Mayweather has been one of the best fighters I've seen fight. And for him to go against this guy, this MMA guy, Starlet's right. Like, his natural instinct is going to be interesting to see how he tempers that into being a boxer. You know what I'm saying? So let's say if he, I don't know, like, we know he got power. What if he does catch Floyd? This is so interesting. All I know is that I'm taking the odds on McGregor. I think they're 7-1 right now.
Right. Everybody's betting on McGregor to knock him out.
Yep. So I'm betting 200. I'm trying to get 1400. I'm trying to flip something.
Ken, what about you, man? Do you care about this fight, man? We talked before about it, and we didn't think it would actually see the light of day, but it's going down in the month of August, man. Do you care, and how do you think it's going to go?
Well, I don't care about this fight. I don't care about Floyd dashing man Mayweather at all. I hope McGregor catches him and puts him out. 49-1 would be hella interesting. 51 would be kind of crazy, but you know, it's easy to go, you know, to get a win if you're going to stay in the court and put gloves up in front of your face and duck and dodge the whole round. But you know, that's what he does. He got him to 49-0. I guess you can't knock the hustle. But either way, man, what I found interesting about this whole thing, though, is how we got from where we were to here. Mm-hmm. And watching this play out and watching the media and everybody have all of these debates and conversations and topics and just really hype this thing up to where we are today, to the point where it's actually happening. Almost to the... Like, when I'm thinking about it, I was like, man, did they already have this in mind and they just played us, played everybody until they got it to where they wanted? You know what I'm saying? Like,
for sure.
It felt like
for sure.
They met in some back room. You know what I'm saying? So, don't know, man. But yeah, I mean, I'll watch somewhere illegally, maybe on a fire stick or something.
our resident boxing expert, my man BZ430, man. Give us your take, man. Do you care, and how do you think this one's going to go?
The only fight I'm looking forward to is Canelo and Triple G.
Right. You've been talking about that for a minute.
This is one big huge circus, man. I do not. I'm like Ken. I watch this for free or something like that. I do not plan on spending $60-$70 to watch this. The hype is going to be more real than the actual fight itself. I mean, the hype of it, the whole anticipation of it, the fact that people really think that Conor McGregor can beat Floyd Mayweather is freaking insane. That's one thing. I can't believe people are really entertaining that thought. You know, that oh man, Kyrie might have a chance. Oh man, oh my goodness, he can. No, he's not gonna have a shot. I agree with Teddy Atlas, man. He said for Conor to even have a chance, he has to train for boxing for like 6 to 7 years in order to have a shot.
Damn,
dude is coming out. This dude is coming out, and this is someone who's been in life boxing his whole life. And he was like, for Conor to win, Conor has to train for 5 to 6, 7 more years to even have a chance against Mayweather. And this dude just coming out the octagon thinking he can beat Floyd Mayweather because Floyd Mayweather trash talked the UFC some years ago or whatever. So hey, Conor, you want this fight? You want to step in this ring against Mayweather? And look what's about to happen, man. All you're gonna do is get schooled. It's gonna be a whole 12 round Mayweather picking him apart, fest. So
you think it's going that far?
Yeah, it's gonna go a decision.
Okay.
And no one's getting knocked out. Mayweather's not gonna knock. I think Mayweather gonna embarrass him. I think he's just gonna embarrass him. Like how he embarrassed Canelo when he fought Canelo Alvarez. Like how he was just picking him. He was just picking him apart. Mm-hmm. And every time Canelo tried to get in and get aggressive, nope. So that's all that's gonna happen. Mayweather's just gonna be picking him apart. We're just gonna be looking at it, laughing at it. Look how he catching him. Ooh. He's just gonna be catching him every time with them jabs. He's gonna counter the heck out of McGregor. Conor McGregor, because you know Conor going to try to come in aggressive like how Ricky Hatton did, and look what happened with that. I mean, Mayweather was just countering him, picking him apart. So that's all it's going to be. It's going to be a Conor fest. That's all it's going to be. Like I said, the hype is going to be more real than the fight itself, man. The anticipation and the whole weigh-in and the whole promoting the fight, because Conor McGregor, he can promote the hell out of a fight. Yeah, and I think trash. I think that's another reason why Mayweather went with this too, because like people said, it's going to be way more money he's going to make them when he fought Pacquiao, and that was the highest at that time. So yeah, and then plus Mayweather don't have to do no promoting the fight. Conor McGregor going to do all the promoting. So,
fact.
You know, it's just circus, man. It's just one big circus. It's just that's all it is. We all know the end result. So when it happened, people going to be saying the same thing. Oh man, that was such a boring fight. Right. Oh man, he was no match for Mayweather. Why Mayweather make these dudes look so average? Look, it's just going to be the same thing, the same story. So I'm just looking forward to Canelo and Triple G because I want to know what Triple G going to do against a boxer / slugger. So in Canelo Alvarez. So that's all I'm looking forward to. I can care less about this Mayweather and Conor McGregor fight.
No doubt. I think I don't know, man. I don't care. I stopped. I've never been a fan of MMA or anything like that. Definitely not a fan of Floyd Mayweather's. You know, I respect what he's done in the ring, but I don't care. I think what fight was that we watched at your house, B? Was that
Pacquiao?
Okay, yeah. Pacquiao. I made a
picked
promise.
Picked him apart.
Yeah, but we were sitting and we were like, oh man.
His shoulder was hurt.
No, BS. Mayweather, Pacquiao was throwing them flurries like he was 150%.
Because
if he stopped punching it, it hurt even more.
How come it wasn't an injury report then? Because he claimed that he heard it while he was training. Before you go into a fight, you have to fill out. Bernard Hopkins explained it so perfectly. Before you go into a fight, you have to fill out all your pre-existing injuries before fight night.
Right.
That wasn't in the fight night paperwork, so he wasn't injured.
Yeah, I just remember sitting there, and I remember we shot a video for Dead End Sports on our YouTube channel. We shot a video right after the fight was over. And I just kind of made a promise to myself, like, yo, I'm not doing this again. Not so much as shooting a video, but I was like, I'm not sitting through another one of these dudes' fights. So I'm not even interested in, you know, I'm not even interested in watching it for free. Now, if somebody had a party and they had drinks, maybe. I can't even say it. I'm probably not going, man. I don't care. I think, you know, this fight will go as long as Floyd wants it to go, because I think Floyd knows that, you know, he can end the fight at any moment when he wants to. I mean, will he knock him out? Probably. Or like you said, he'll probably just embarrass him more than anything else. And I think what the draw is, and people in Vegas are betting on the fact that he's going to knock him out. Excuse me, that he has a puncher's chance basically to knock Floyd out. And that's why people are betting their money on their huge bets being placed on him knocking out Floyd Mayweather. But you can't, you know, we all say it's hard to even hit Floyd, let alone knock him out. So I don't care. I understand why there's some appeal to it, but I could care less. I'm sure we're going to talk about it, but no, I'm not. I'm not in the least bit interested in this fight. And I think it'll go. I think Floyd's going to win, and I think it'll go as long as Floyd wants it to go. Now, if we're talking about a fight between Floyd and T.I., that I would be interested
in. You stupid.
It is time for our final thoughts segment, where we close out the podcast with our closing thoughts, thought for sports or anything that you want to talk about. So first up, my man Beasley430. B, what you got?
Hey, just like we talked about before, Tiger Woods is finally admitting. He's like, what? What?
I knew you were going to Tiger.
How you know I was going to
just know you?
Be quiet. Yeah, man, Tiger Woods is going to go in for what, rehab for alcoholism, I think, for alcohol. I told y'all, man, he's about to hit that rock bottom. He knows. He has to. I think he came to a point to where his kids at some point must have saw him in a bad spot, and he was like, okay, I got to get help for my family. And I think this is that rock bottom, man. This is why he's at this rock bottom, even though he is done, Ken. He's done. But
he's not done.
He's done. He's not winning no more majors, man. It's a wrap. He's done. He's finished. But yeah, man, I just want to say, yeah, kudos to Tiger Woods for admitting that he needs to get help, and he's trying to get help and trying to, you know, better his situation or whatever condition or whatever he's going through right now. He's trying to better it. So I just want to – that's my final thought. I just want to commend him for finally opening his eyes and realizing that he's in a bad spot. And I hope he does get better. And I hope he does get back to the – you know, limelight or somewhat of a limelight in the world. But, you know, according to Ken, he's not done. He's done. Also, too, I saw an Instagram video of Serena Williams still practicing her tennis while pregnant. I hope she comes back, and I hope she gets 2 or 3 more majors so she can be the all-time major champion of all tennis, all eras, open era or not, man. So when I saw that, I was like, wow, Serena is freaking practicing. She is coming for y'all head. That girl that won the French Open, she better be happy, and she better be happy that Serena's not going to be in the Wimbledon in a couple of weeks. So yes, I love it, man. I just love seeing greatness, and Serena is going. She's going to be on that Mount Rushmore of like athletes, man, like all time. So I'm glad I saw that. So that's all I want to say. Tiger Woods.
I'm gonna print out that Tiger Woods mugshot and dress as him for Halloween.
There you go. There you go, man. Do it.
FIFA, what's your closing thought, man?
Man, the NBA. You guys own the summertime. Like, this is why I love the NBA. It's not only about what happens on the court, it's also what happens off the court. We truly have a rivalry with Golden State and LeBron James. Let's just be honest, whatever team he's on, you know, that's who he's going to see. And him and Draymond, we got GMs getting fired. We got Jimmy Butler, Paul George, K Love talk. Like, you know, it's just so amazing. It's so amazing, this game of basketball, the opportunities it's given me, the joy and everything I have for it. That's why I love Summer League, man. I like, it just makes me reflect, you know, have so many memories. You know, I'm just traveling down memory lane. I know I'm rambling. But that was a thought, man. I just love the NBA, and you should too.
That's a great point, because to be honest, there has not been a dominating NFL story, you know, this whole week. That's a great point. What about you, Ken?
Major League Baseball, you guys have a potential star and a kid named Cody Bellinger. Take advantage of it now. This kid was brought up to take Adrian Gonzalez's place for about a week when he went on the 10-day DL, and he's homers out the park ever since. He's been playing so good, they couldn't even sit him down. He has 21 homers. I think the fastest to 21 homers as a rookie up there with, I can't think of some of the guys they named. I think Miguel Cabrera was one. And if you guys know anything about baseball, you know he was back in the day. And he still can hit. He still can hit. This kid has loads of talent. And now is the time to – because nobody's talking about you guys. Nobody's talking about baseball.
Nope.
Right.
And you guys have a guy that's actually doing something that's interesting. And he's – so now is the time to do it. You guys, it's about to be your season. Get behind this guy and see what you can do. Right now, nobody cares about you. And you need to change that.
Great point. Great point. What about you, Starlet? Your final thought.
Yay. Knicks, if you're listening, stop talking about trading Porzingis. Just build a team around him. He's young. He's talented. And it would be stupid and completely ridiculous for you to trade him now. That's just my thought on that. And for the women fans listening in sports, be vocal. You can love sports and talk about it and still be a girl. Just look at me. I'm very feminine once you get to know me. Just shoot the shit with the guys on Twitter. Look at me now. All I did was go back and forth. If you're willing to debate and you have an opinion, they'll listen. So that is my final thought. Thank you very much.
That's a great point. That's a great point. my final thought is, you know, normally for some people, and I haven't had this happen to me personally, but normally for some people, they get excited when they have a family member or a loved one or a friend who's in jail and they get notification that they're coming home. We got notification today that O.J. Simpson is set to have a parole hearing as early as October 1st. O.J. Simpson, as you know, is serving he served more than 8 years of a 9-to-33-year sentence when he was found guilty of armed robbery, kidnapping, and other charges stemming from armed robbery memorabilia shop. And O.J. called himself basically stealing his own stuff. So, you know, you would think they'd get excited about O.J. coming home. O.J. never coming home. He's 70 years old next month. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but O.J. ain't never coming home. It's unfortunate. Now, whether or not you think he killed his ex-wife and her friend, Ron Goldman, that's, you know, another story for another day. But it'll be a cold day in hell before they let O.J. out of jail. Trust and believe that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us, for Ken, for B, for FIFO, my man Q who called in. And our guest host this week, Starlet Hill. I am your host, 12 Kyle. Thank you for checking out another edition of The Place Where Sports Opinions Collide. You have listened to another edition of Dead End Sports. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.
Bye.